Hello, I'm Malcolm Cox, and it's Friday the 22nd of April. In the Northwest London Christian Church, we've been preaching through the book of 1 John. The sermons can't cover every detail, so these podcasts give a bit more background and information about some of the verses. We're up to chapter 3, and we're going to read verses 16 to 20. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need, but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. This, then, is how we know that we belong to the truth, and how we set our hearts at rest in his presence whenever our hearts condemn us. For God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. The theme of love continues here, and is put here in contrast to the preceding few verses about Cain and his attitude towards his brother. John now directs the attention to the example of Jesus Christ. This is how we know what love is. Look at what Jesus did. He laid down his life for us. Appropriately enough, we're studying these verses on what is known as Good Friday, the day when Jesus was taken to the cross. And John makes the cross and Jesus' sacrifice central to all of his key arguments in the book of 1 John, as he tries to help the church to deal with the false teachers who are telling them that sin is not significant and that Jesus was not God in the flesh. We ought to lay down our lives for our brothers not only points to Jesus in this passage, but could also point to some of the persecution that's going on in the church at the time. It could be that those who had left the church, claiming that it was to live by a new doctrine that was special knowledge, perhaps they actually did so for a different motive, to avoid persecution and torture that were designed to make them give away the location and identity of believers who would not worship the emperor. Now, love for John is not some airy-fairy idea. It's practical. God's love for us meant Jesus came. Jesus' love for us meant he died for us. In verse 17, he brings it down to the personal level of interactions in the church. If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? There's a similar passage in James chapter 2, verses 15 to 17. Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, "Go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed," but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. Reminds me also of Galatians chapter 5, verse 6. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. The Christian life is not just about belief in the head. It's about that belief affecting and shaping the way we live a life of love. And we do see needs if we're devoted to the fellowship. See here in verse 17 is the Greek word theore, which means more than a passing glance. The person in this passage sees his brother or sister long enough to be sure of the situation, but then has no pity on them, or more literally, shuts up his entrails from him. The Greeks held that that part of the body was the location of the emotions in the way that we think of the heart. And so it indicates that the person is emotionally involved. So we see a need. We feel that need, and then we decide not to meet it. That's not right, and it's not how Jesus treats us. If we react correctly and live a life of love, then we'll be at rest in our hearts in God's presence. Tomorrow we'll go on to verse 21. Until then, if you want to know more about our church work, have a look at nwlcc.org. And I hope you have a wonderful day, and God bless.